Yo, what's up, everybody? We here live on Off the Rock, and man, do we have a very smooth guest on here today? I'm trying to say, just look at him. He clean cut, look like he on the show. I'm like, look at that. It's my show, and he out here look like he on the entire show. But you already know what we got with it. We got Dr. Set It Off. We got Dr. Carl Cunningham Jr.
Hey, look, I'm gonna say, look, he pulled up like he on my apartment complex. he pulled up in Mercedes, right?
That's right.
He pulled in that thing. I'm like,
bends it out,
like,
right?
Man, I'm like, okay.
He look like, Sir Brother Cash.
You feel me?
Where's your rent?
Landlord.
You're about 7 months late, my guy.
Hurry up, I got 7 meetings to get to.
So check it, man. We here. Y'all already know how we run this show, man. I got Cash with me today. Shout out to Honor and True. They'll probably be with us tomorrow. But this is how we do the show. In the beginning, we have our mental health self segment. We just, you know, see how everybody doing. I feel like you should ask your boys, you know, in a comfortable and safe space, how are you?
Yeah.
You know?
Definitely.
So, Dr. Carl, how are you? How you feel?
I am an 8 out of 10. I got to tell you, we just came off vacation.
Okay.
Had a 3-day vacation. I slept, spent time with family. So, everything went well. I feel good this week. I'm rested, ready to go.
Hey, that's what I like to hear. But you did say you were 8 out of 10. So, how can we get that 10 out of 10?
You know, I'll never get 10. I think you'll never be perfect with mental health. There's always something going on. But 8 is pretty damn high.
Yeah, that's true. Okay. I'll take 8.
I'll take 8 out of 10. Okay. If I'm 80%, hey, that's a great day.
Tell us, how are you? How are you feeling,
my guy? Well, I must say, Mr. Carl, if you 80%, I'm 80% too today.
All right.
Hey, look, man. Say, man, I'm good. I'm blessed. Yes. Every day that I can walk,
breathe,
and get my business handled, it's a blessed day.
That's right.
So, yeah, I'm good, man.
Guys, sorry to be the bearer of bad news.
But this is every week. This is every week. I think I need to call HR, your dog. Song. They need to have on-site counseling for you. Song, bro.
What you for?
Nah, I'm not. I don't think I got to say, I'm hovering around a 5 or 6, you know. And the reason why I'm hovering over 5 or 6, like with everyday life and me handling this business, there's some things I do handle behind the scenes, you know, but it's just I'm learning to find balance.
Yeah.
With this, and I appreciate every fan that we have. I appreciate all the people. I'm still growing my team. I love my team right now. But I'm trying to find my balance, you know, and I feel like balance is very important when it comes to, you know, just the success of growing.
Yeah.
You know, and I posted a post last night because I got an email. And we were told that we are in the top 125 of podcasts that do music interviews.
Yeah, that, man.
Right.
And I was elated. Like, that's
kinda, what's up.
You know,
that's a blessing, bro.
Because we started maybe like a year and a half from right now. And I never thought in my wildest dreams that we even be in that. But that wasn't my focus or my goal either. My goal was just to do something, to have an outlet for my music artists and my people, but also do something that I love. Now it's just all about supporting my city and growing from there. But that is dope. But that also let y'all know, when I sit here on this couch, or you see me at your event, and I come out and I say, this is the hottest pod in the 251, don't you dare question me. Because you see what's in the inbox, my guy. You already know. You know what I'm saying? I'm telling you, Cash, you're going up.
Oh, I'm already knowing. You already know. I'm yelling. I'm wolfing.
You already know, man.
I'm rapping OTR like it's a gang out here, man. What you talking about?
So, look, it's time. Let's go and get down into this interview.
Yes, sir.
So, Dr. Carl.
Yo.
I know you from the 251.
Absolutely.
You know, you grew up in Maysville.
Absolutely.
What was the, like, how did Maysville influence you into the man you are today?
Man, Maysville was everything to us growing up back during those days. My family been in Maysville since 1870. So we were one of the original families in Maysville. So when you hear people talk about, you know, Maysville soldiers and stuff for, you know, we consider ourselves to be a true Maysville Soldier family because we've been there. And so just my family owned property along Wanaka Avenue, ooh, from the beginning of Wanaka Avenue all the way to Duval Street. Everybody pretty much cousins. And so from that, we used to ride our bikes up and down Wanaka Avenue. My grandma lived on Waterford Street, go down there. Oh, yeah. I lived over in Cherokee Street. Then I got an aunt that lived on two blocks over. So for me, Maysville was community. Mm-hmm. So it was a place where I never went hungry. I always had somewhere to go. Okay. I always had somewhere to eat. And then everybody was community back then. You know, so everybody looked out for everybody.
It was a staple in Maysville. I don't know if y'all know. I know Dr. Carr knows, but it was something called the Maysville Shack.
Oh, absolutely. Maysville, get you some
wings.
I never got to eat, though.
And
y'all don't remember. Some of you may remember Taste the Cool Cream right down Houston Street. Yeah, y'all don't know about that. Yeah. Man, they had hamburgers, french fries, the lick.
Oh,
Houston Street.
That's, and when you go down Houston Street, it looked like it was a spot. You know,
man,
what
it was a spot.
I could believe that. Like, okay, so you grew up there in Maysville, and somehow you avoided Williamson and went to Murphy.
Yeah, I went to Murphy. My dad, all my cousins went to Williamson, and I was like the first person in the family to go to Murphy. And I went to Murphy to be in the marching band. That was my primary purpose. Murphy had a good band program, and I wanted to go to Jackson State, and I knew in eighth grade, like, damn, I want to be in Jackson State band. So Murphy, in my mind, had a good music program, and so I walked across the track, took my trombone up there, auditioned for the band, and I got a phone call like this time about some years ago saying, congratulations, you're going to be in the Murphy High School band. Okay. And that changed my whole life.
Was it Chapman that gave you the call?
No, we had a man named Mr. Randy Davis.
Oh, okay.
He was the band director. Yeah.
I heard of Randy. Like, a lot of people still bring Randy up.
Yeah, he was good, and we had Mr. E.B. Coleman that wrote a lot of music, so, you know, he a legend in the music world in Mobile. E.B. Coleman band. He was the band director at Central before it closed.
Now, you
he
know,
was my mama band director.
Like, I would play music. I went to Davidson, and I kind of got a similar story because, like, I supposed to went to Murphy because I lived in Creighton, right in the center of Creighton.
Yeah.
So I did the band, my band audition over at Davidson. Davidson got me from there. But I would still see, like...
You ain't go to Murphy?
I did. I worked there now, though.
Well, you ain't go to Murphy?
I did.
That's why you whack.
Smoking.
That's why.
Smoking.
Davidson.
Good man. He my guest. I can't do him. I can't do him dirty like that because I want him to come back. Yeah.
Oh, man. It's all right. Where them Panthers at?
Oh, Lord. I work with them. Shout out to the Panthers.
Oh, I did. We cool.
You know
we
what
cool.
I'm saying? But what I was going to say is I still see, like, Coleman name on some of the arrangements that are still coming out today, because they was just that good. You know?
Yeah, he was good, man. He was the man with music in Mobile.
So if you went that solo for music, what instrument did you play when you was there?
Man, I played the trombone. Trombone. I was pretty good on trombone. I was second chair.
Out of 25, right?
Yeah, out of 25. That was something big, man. Because you know you competing with kids from all over the damn city. You know, so I really put some time behind that trombone.
And 25 of them?
Yeah.
You know, like, bro.
I put some time behind it.
It's tough just getting in a room of 25 drummers.
Bro, but the deal is my dad bought me a new trombone.
Okay.
And he was like, I got something for you. So I went back, opened the trombone. It was brand new. Box Stradivarius, top of the line, trigger trombone. And he said, let me tell you this. You better play this damn thing to play by itself. That's all I know. And I still play the same trombone.
Still ain't playing
still
by
play
itself.
It, right.
That was his secret weapon. See, that's how he got another that second chair.
Yeah, right.
Hey, you know, look, I wasn't a band member, but I ain't gonna lie. And I know this might sound cliche or whatever, but Drumline really changed my perspective of what people go through in a band. Like, I ain't know it was that deep.
I live that life. I'm sure you go get to that, bro. That was a whole nother experience.
I didn't even know it was that deep. Like, what they make you go through. And,
that was a move. It's worse than that.
It is.
Yeah, so that's what I was thinking. I'm like, this is on the screen. I know it's got to be 10
real.
Because think about it. All right, so what were your experiences like being in band at Murphy? And then we're going to move to when it really kicked in.
All right, so Murphy Band taught me great foundation, how to read music well, and find that we traveled everywhere. We went to London. I played for Vice President Bush.
Okay.
We traveled the world. So Murphy just gave us that opportunity. I'm talking about kids from Orange Grove Project, the bottom, the campground. So what the band did was just take us and expose us to just the entire world at an early age. So, you know, a lot of my friends who grew up in Orange Grove and the campground and so forth, you know, we took that experience and layered it with our lives. And so I had some friends who've been back to London just because of their one trip. They taking their families back. And, you know, most kids in the band, particularly black kids, you came from Orange Grove, campground, you know, so forth. And so the band in our life, for our life, played a huge role in transitioning us to the next level.
That's one thing. I know you work with kids and you work with a lot of people all the time. I know you notice, like, when you take a kid out of an environment that they're so used to, and sometimes it is hard environments, and that could weigh a lot on their mind. But whenever you can take somebody from that and show them something different, you really can gain their attention and trust. And that is that can be a life-changing moment.
Bruh, London, and you come back,
Project.
Camp, right. You like, I can, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
We, London, we saw diamonds. We saw the crown. Like, we done been to places where you could just be like, damn, them real diamonds?
Yeah, VVS.
Right, and you get back. You
better than VVS.
Yeah, you looking at all that little other stuff. You be like, man, I saw the largest diamond in the world.
Yeah.
You know, so it changed your whole perspective. When we got off that plane, we were like, you know, this some BS right here. So it just kind of changes your whole perspective.
The one thing that changed me was the fact that I went and seen stuff like that, and I came home, and my teacher was like, if you just follow me, if you just take this and engrave this in your brain, you could one day have or achieve that.
Right.
And that right there was all the motivation I needed to keep pushing forward. Like, and it's especially talking about pushing forward, you pushed forward to Jackson State.
Yeah.
Do you feel like Murphy set you up for success for Jackson State?
Absolutely. Academic-wise, I took honors AP classes, so that was straight on that end, got me right academically. And then the music piece, you know, that was good, too. So I was 17 when I went to college. So, you know, man. I tell people all the time, they're like, man, college ain't for me. Like, I was 17. I was young as hell going to college. And so, you know, that was a big shift coming from 17. What helped me at Murphy, Murphy was like the largest school in the state back then, though. So we had 3,000 students at Murphy.
Yeah.
So Murphy's like a little college.
Yeah.
So that helped me out going to college.
Yeah, because I think some people get caught in that whirlwind that first year. You know, they're not really.
Murphy was a whirlwind, except for them pep rallies at Murphy was off the chart. We had a good football team, too. So all of that was just pumping every Friday. We had a pep rally every Friday. So all that rah, rah, rah. That's why we ain't missed school back in the day, because it was something going on every day.
Every day.
So it was popping every day. So, you know, that's what we did.
Yeah, and then, so whenever you went to Jackson State, it was like that the same now. Probably something popping every day or every other hour.
Every hour.
So, you know, having that discipline to be able to get your studies in and not fall into that wayside of, I need to catch every party.
Right.
But your grades over here dropping.
I can talk about that, too, when we make that transition to Jackson State.
Okay, well, let's go make that transition.
All right.
We here. We at Jackson State.
All
right. Let's talk.
My mama dropped me off.
Okay. What? She dropped you
my
off?
My mom and dad dropped me off. My dad said, you got 4 years. You got to do what it do. That's all I'm sponsoring. So, dropped me off, band camp. First night of band camp, I think I ran like 2-3 miles. I ain't never ran that far in my life. They said, go change clothes. We put on the tennis shoes.
Back at it,
down the street. Yeah. We practiced 5 a.m. in the morning.
It was really like that. They
wake up. Really like that, bro.
Get up.
Don't be late. If you're late, you got to do a gazillion push-ups and running. Mm-hmm. Then your face talking noise. You can't walk on the grass. I mean, it's just all these rules. Like, your whole life shift just like that.
Yep. Everything you thought.
It
was a lie.
They break you down. We've like, boom, broke down. But they build you up, and you become stronger as a unit. So, yeah, it's real.
That sounds too much like Gerald TC for me.
Yeah, yeah. Just like that. Yeah.
I ain't making it Gerald TC.
But the brand.
It's JRTC on 100.
And like Dr. Clark gave you the HBCU perspective. I went to South. And I feel like that. I went to South.
You was in the band at South?
Yes.
I didn't know that.
I used to be out there on that field. My stanky looking like they was dying, bro. I'm talking about
the term one more once I hate that term. Yeah. To this day, like with a passion, a fiery burning passion.
You
will
do it about 10 more times.
Exactly.
I used to walk by y'all to see y'all sweat. I used to be like, but y'all about to throw a football.
Man.
Y'all some football.
Man, I got
you led on that damn field.
Ooh. I'm trying to say, what's one good band story you can tell us from Jackson State?
Give me one.
Man, we were late for band practice one day when we were freshmen. And my roommate, we woke up. I was like, damn, we late. So we had to contemplate if we go even go. Because if you go,
it's going to be worse.
It's going to be worse, right? You know what I'm saying? But then if you didn't go, you'll lose your spot and get sent home.
Oh.
So, you know, we battling. I can remember I just started throwing up in the room because my nerves were so bad with that. And he was like, bro, get yourself together. Like, all right. So we ran across to the band room. The drum major was standing right there.
Waiting on you.
Man, my heart just dropped. And I can remember I started almost about to throw up right there in the hallway. And he like, man, get yourself together. You being weak. So we went to the band room and he looked at us. He like, why y'all late? And I was like, I, he just said, give me 10 and go sit down. I was like, damn.
Ooh, let
like,
me off.
I love it.
Let me off.
That was
like,
so sweet.
I was like, woo.
That's the best
man, thing. I faded in that chair. If you can fade in the chair, I faded like boom.
And then moved on my
like I don't know how you fade in the chair. I faded right
like
in
a cartoon.
Man. Yeah, like a cartoon.
Boy face
bro, I fade to nothing. I ain't say nothing for 2 weeks, bro. But that was one. That was one of the stories right there.
They were like, hey, Carl, you wanna come with
No. I'm good.
I'm good.
But that experience taught me a lot, man. I was in the band for 4 years. Okay. I got section leader my sophomore year.
Okay.
I was section leader my sophomore, junior, and senior in the band.
Did you pursue anything like as far as musically after?
I did, man. And you know the crazy thing is like I love music.
I know you about got
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I still love music. I do it singing, playing. I do it all.
Okay.
But never really, you know, pursued it. Mm-hmm. I do know why. I ain't feel like practicing.
Okay.
So I practiced enough. I practiced enough to be the section leader, but then I ain't want to go into music.
Yeah.
Wait, you know, that's dedication, bro.
Oh, really?
I musician, know. You know. If you rapping, musician, whatever you do, you giving all your time to
them.
Yeah.
All of it. And your funds.
Yes.
And
I didn't want to do that.
Yeah, I feel it.
Man, I remember going through that because I went through music business. That's what I went for. And I just started dating my wife Whitney around the time. Bro, for a whole 3 months, I almost forgot I even had a girlfriend due to the fact that 8 o'clock in the morning, I was banned. And then class, band, class. She would go 3-4 days. Do you still remember me? I'm like, I do, but it's the fact that it's 8 o'clock. I got this percussion ensemble thing. I got to do it. Dr. Rivera's up my ass about this.
Yeah, it'd be nonstop, bro.
But let's switch gears to the academic side. Like,
yeah.
All right, so the average person, they say change their major like once or twice. Mm-hmm. Dr. Cole, how many times did you change your major?
3 times.
Oh,
three times.
He always go above and beyond.
Hey, remember I was 17, so I ain't know.
Cut above.
I was 17. I ain't know what I wanted to do. Okay. I would just better be in the band. I ain't gonna lie to you. I went to college.
My daddy picked my major for me.
Yeah, I did that.
That was hard. Look what my daddy did. I graduated high school early. I'm sitting here. Obviously, he said, "Look, I done printed out the 10 top high paying degrees coming out straight out of college." I'm a pick one. You gonna go to South? All right.
I ain't paying for it. You are.
No, I did. Pay
you
for it. I paid for it. I was working for my daddy. Hey, look, it taught me some stuff though. I ain't mad about it. It felt good to go in there. I had to cut my. I ain't gonna lie. That first semester check though. I'm talking about. It was like $8,300.
Splurge.
Yeah.
My dad was like, "You feel good going to spend all that money
on
books?
I'm young, I can do this. $1,200.
But I'm saying, you feel me? I'm thinking like, bro, look, I'm 17. You feel me? I'm thinking this is almost $10,000 that I worked for.
Right.
I'm 17. You think I'm thinking about paying $500 because South got grass? That was in the thing. It said that's only paying for that.
You're
paying because they got grass.
Look, it broke all the way down. What you got? Yeah.
Hey, Jay,
I remember that, bro.
Yeah, bro. Man.
Hey, crazy. Dad, I wish we could queue up Eric Benet. Sometimes I cry.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
me when I'm trying to get a get the money. Oh,
yeah.
Oh, what major did you decide? What major did you go with?
I went with my first major was history.
Okay.
And then my second major was criminal justice. Then my third and final major was city and urban planning. So I planned cities and schools. Like I work with neighborhoods and how to form a school in a neighborhood, how many people live in that neighborhood, how many women are at childbearing age, so you know how many kids could potentially be born if we go build an elementary school in this neighborhood.
Okay. I didn't even know they had a degree for that.
Yeah. That's how you think you building buildings and, you know, if we want to build an entertainment center, what's the age population in this space? So,
yeah,
you know, you got
to
know
the demographic.
Yeah, the demographic to go to.
I just thought like a business person who wanted to build that would just think of that. Like,
no, everybody
they
going to
hire somebody for that. Yeah, they going to get somebody. The person with the idea they wanted ain't thinking of that really necessarily. They like, I just want this here. So I'm going to go, if I got the money to put an event center anywhere,
right.
I'm going to have somebody. Hey, let me know who are here. You know what I'm saying?
What's the income in this community?
That just added like
right. You think if you had the money to build your own, not Mr. Rock Center. You know what I mean? You think you're going to sit up and be so, who you are?
Right.
You're going to have the time to, because that's a lot of work. That's a job in itself. Like
I do eventually want to build my own Off the Rock Production Center. But in my mind, I'm already writing out the plans for all of that right now. So I didn't know I could hire somebody like Dr. Call to map it out.
Yeah, it's
how
always,
many people live here? Yeah, all the demographics.
It's always it's a service for everything now, bro. Yeah. Like, somebody has it's a field and job for like everything.
That just blew my mind.
Yeah.
You know just can't build shit.
You feel me? Yeah.
People do that.
You can't build shit. Go ahead. Yeah. You can go ahead build shit with it.
Nah.
Monopoly teaches you just can't build shit with it. If you play Monopoly, you played it the right way. Monopoly did teach you couldn't just build shit willy-nilly. Because look, I used to just try to buy up the hood. And I think that I'm going to buy these little cheap. Y'all know the First Street. Y'all know what I'm talking about. I can't think. Oh, it's the LeBron property. It's on Monopoly. the houses ain't nothing but like $50 for a house. Build a house.
Yeah.
I'm going to buy all these. I'm going to have a hood looking good. Then I go land on somebody that owns some on Park Place. That's 3 months of rent from all my tenants. And I'm broke now. You feel me? Now I got the
You can't just deal with it.
You can't
do
that, bro.
So, that just really blew my mind. But anyway. So, like.
I invoice you.
There we go.
All
right. So, Dr. Carl, like, you are a Jackson State alum. Like, how often do you visit the school now?
All the time. So, I'm the president of the Sonic Boom Alumni Association as well. So, we have about 1,000 members that I oversee.
Wow.
And so, yeah. So, I'm always going back. I was on a conference call today with the band director. We planning for homecoming. We're going to have an alumni band for homecoming. We got about 200 people marching in the alumni band for homecoming.
Okay.
And we working with the J-Sets, the Dancing Girls alumni. It's their 50th anniversary for the J-Sets. So we're putting all that together to do a production for halftime.
So now this is where I send my invoice. Hey, you know, we need some coverage.
It's going to be big coverage. It's going to be prime time.
Yeah, hey,
you already know
and
why.
That's where I was going. Exactly where I was going. So prime time is now working with Jackson State football team. How did you feel hearing that news that primetime chose to go to Jackson State?
Man, I couldn't believe it. I still have to pinch myself because I went to a luncheon with him about a month ago and just amazing. Yeah, because you
Dion,
he really our coach. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Very accessible, and I mean, I think the first 4 months Jackson State hired him, I think we grossed, whatever I've heard, about $19 million. It's just insane, just the money and, you know, what has come with that. You know, because he's connected. Like, he is connected.
He's the guy.
So, he's the guy. So, all the movie stars, you know, former football players, they come to see Dion.
Then, on top of that, look at the recruits that he's getting due to the fact that him and Dion, like, 4 and 5-star guys are passing up on Alabama, Florida,
Tennessee,
all of those, especially Tennessee. Tennessee.
Well, I don't think Tennessee been good since doggone. I'm just thinking, bro.
Yeah, they
nah, they had a little time. It was
Josh Dobbs.
What was that running back? They had
Alvin Kamara.
Nah.
Eric.
Yeah, before that.
Eric. We didn't know they top ain't rocking.
Yeah.
Yeah, no.
They more
yeah,
like they more like Rocky Bottom.
Rocky Bottom, right?
That's what they
top Vanderbilt rocking, better than Tennessee 9. I remember one point Vanderbilt was the bottom of the girl at SEC 9. Not.
Vanderbilt's still the bottom. They, I mean, they still play at a high school stadium. I think Jackson State Stadium bigger than Vanderbilt.
Yeah, it is.
It is?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
But Prime Coach, you know, Deion, his whole goal is to really topple Alabama.
Yeah,
that's his. He's shooting.
Man, that boy, high. That boy shooting. Boy, wait, shooting bro. High, bro. Man, wait, Deion. Yeah. Hey, Deion. Say, man, you do that. Hey, bro. Hey, look. I don't doubt that you can do it.
I don't doubt it either.
It's
bro.
NFL teams that ain't seen Alabama. I don't know, bro. That's how I feel. They need
but
to
it,
say
it, it's so hype. It is energy around the whole school.
Yeah,
the whole program, and so we didn't know everybody would be there in the fall going to the game.
That's cool.
Yeah. Y'all got to come up.
The energy going to be crazy.
Yeah.
The energy going to be crazy.
Out the chain.
I'm definitely with it. I definitely going to give me. I'm already paid for like 2 or 3 games for Florida this year.
Yeah.
And so I got to give me a Jackson State in.
Yeah, get one in.
And then that way I can go and slide my invoice.
I'm going to have to slide to one of them Florida games with you.
Come on, bro.
I'm going to have to come go on. See what the swamp talking
pull
about.
Pull up on
but
me.
But your return.
What?
Because I might have to go and make this happen.
Okay.
We might have to go and fly up to Ann Arbor and go to a Michigan game.
I'm with it.
Okay.
I'm with it. I got
let's go to the big house. All right.
We got connects. We got Dr. Carr, too. We got connects.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? All right, so Dr. Carr, man, you graduated from Jackson State, and now we're pulling up on Southern Miss.
Yeah.
Now, why did you decide to leave Jackson State and go to Southern Miss?
Well, I was going to LSU. That was my choice to get my master's in geography. And LSU, it took a long time for some reason for them to accept me.
Okay.
Cause you know the Creole girls down there, so I want to go to LSU for that reason.
You talking about the ones that talk like this?
I don't know what I'm talking about.
I ain't never heard of them.
So New Orleans and New Orleans girls talk. Right. What not, baby? I'm talking
right.
They
ate
holds around kids. Football.
Well, I wasn't going to see them.
Okay. He wasn't going to look. Yeah, right. I don't think he was going to look. You might be going to look.
No, don't do me like this, man.
Don't think about Dr. Carl going out and looking.
I
don't
want to see them.
No.
But you know, me still being young and dumb, LSU, I was waiting and waiting and waiting. Mm-hmm. And Southern Miss, I applied for them too, so I got my master's in geography.
Okay.
So Southern Miss sent me the letter, and I was like, I don't know. And my dad was like, you better take your butt up to Hattiesburg. So went up there to Hattiesburg, man, and fell in love with Southern Miss.
Okay.
Hattiesburg. I got my master's and started working on campus. So I worked in Greek Life Office.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah, and so just stayed there. And I'm one of my homeboys like, man, we need to get our PhDs. I'm like, man, I've been going to school since kindergarten. Bump that. So he's like, just go on and apply. So I went and applied. Man, this thing I know I got a letter. It was like, congratulations, you've been accepted. No, well, at Southern Miss to get your PhD, doctorate, to get into the program.
Oh.
So I just stayed at Southern Miss and started working on my doctorate, man. And I was 28 years old when I was Dr. Cunningham. That scared the shit out of me.
I believe it. Hey, look now, hold on.
Yeah.
Hey, that sound, God knows with the women, bro. That was
Oh, yeah.
I pulled that out, so I'm 28. Imagine brother sitting by, sitting you at the bar, brother sitting next to you, he over there explaining what he do to old girl.
Yeah, you know
what I'm saying? I just got my degree or whatever.
And he
spin around in the bar stool chair.
Here she go.
You ever met a doctor? That's what they.
Hey, here she go, Cass. She's like, oh, so your name is Carl. Nah.
Doctor.
There you go.
And when they used to do that, they be like, where he at?
You just called me Doc.
They be like, he here? I'm like, this me right here? They be like, you lie.
Baby, I ain't got time to lie to you. That Benz don't play for itself.
Okay, then.
That Benz don't pay for itself.
Okay, then.
Yeah, I already know. So, like, you got into Southern Miss.
Yeah.
You been at Southern Miss is when you got introduced into being a captain.
Right.
That was?
Right.
So what was that experience like becoming one and the day that you got initiated?
So it was the best feeling in the world. I crossed spring 1997. Just my line brothers and I, you know, we had been, you know, just on that journey to become members of the Capital Alpha Psi Fraternity Incorporated. And when it happened, it was just exciting, fulfilling. I'll be a cap of 25 years next year. So I'll be 25
congratulations,
years.
Congratulations, man.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
I mean, we're excited about that, planning some trips and stuff, you know, with my line brothers and so forth. So it's just dope. Being a cap is just the, you know, best thing that, you know, I could have done. My father is a cap too, so.
Okay, so was that the influence on you becoming a cap?
Not really, because, you know, my parents never pushed. You know, they like, this your life, you do what you want to do. But, you know, growing up and seeing my pops and stuff, my mom, she's in the sorority.
Okay.
AKA, so
I had a feeling.
Yeah.
I had a feeling. It's only right.
It's only right. So, you know, come from a pretty family, right?
Yeah. Pretty smooth. Pretty smooth family. Hey, family. You already know.
So it was all good. And then, you know, Kappa's been good to me.
And that's always good to hear. And, you know, we're going to dive more into that as well. But I also want to go on get into you getting that doctorate.
Okay, then.
So, rumor has it. Rumor has it the night before you got that doctor, before they gave you the official. Somebody got a little hammered the night before.
I did,
and
bro.
Stumbled across the stage.
Yeah, I did, bro. So, well, you know, I've been going to school since I was kindergarten. 4 years old, bro.
Hey, man, I ain't mad at you.
You know what I'm saying?
Live it up. That's hard work, bro.
It just all fell on me, bro. You know what I'm saying? It, all that fell on me. Like, you know, I'm at this point in my life, I got wasted.
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking about, I almost didn't make it. Wasted.
What?
Then I had on the wrong clothes at the commencement.
Oh,
You know what I'm saying? You know how the kids.
Did it first.
You know what I'm talking about? His dances across the stage. You know what I'm talking about? Stumble across the stage. Flipping off some principles and everything. I know y'all seen it with the girl walking by. I was like, oh my god.
You know, my mom was like, what's wrong with you? What's wrong? You know, she was like, y'all in my face, what's wrong with you? I'm like, I'm drunk, you know.
I'm a doctor, my
mom. Not right, you know. Yeah. She's like, you ain't taking this serious. You ain't taking this serious, right?
What you mean?
I'm a doctor. Exactly.
Okay. You know. I gotta tell you, this is the first time I ever heard somebody going somewhere sick and coming out a doctor.
I was wasted.
It was a good waste, though.
So you did all of that in your college career. I got some college questions. Did you have a struggle staying in college?
No, I didn't. College was really easy for me, and I think because I'm a structured person, and I was in a band, so I knew every hour on hour what I was doing.
Discipline.
Yeah, it was discipline all the way. So it really was. I breezed through college. Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah, it wasn't no struggle
for
me.
It was hard.
The parties were good. I love the party too. So that's kind of was like my award for myself. So if I made an A or B on the test, ladies night, Thursday night. So I know it would be jumping. Ladies get in free. And I had a car. And I put the ladies in my car. Right. So you know, you gotta, you know, figure it out. If I had a test on Friday, you know, I wouldn't go out Thursday night, but then I know Saturday night. You know, it's all you can drink. Mm-hmm. So you know what I'm saying. So
you go. I've been best friends with you in college. I've been right there behind them going in the club too. That's Dr. Carl. I'm like, yeah, I'm a nurse.
And I'm not promoting drinking at all. But I'm just letting you know. You know, you're in college, you're partying, you're having a good time. So that was. It may be superficial for some, but I like the party. So, you know, I rewarded myself with a party.
And that's what you should have done.
I still like the party. So, you know what it is.
Did you see how strategic? That's how he got the name Dr. Sid.
That's right. I'm a partying. I like a good party. Exactly. If I ain't partying, I ain't coming.
All right. We're going to come back to this party.
Yeah.
All right. So, he did all of that. I want to ask you, though. Do you feel like college is for everyone?
I think learning is for everyone. Now, college... You know, you got community colleges now. You can get it certified. I work at community college now, Coastal Alabama. So, you know, we encourage trade. Mm-hmm. You can get it. But I tell young brothers this all the time and sisters too, like companies are looking for you to be certified in something.
Yeah.
So you got to go and get something.
Yeah,
so get certified with electrician, plumber, whatever, trade. So, but all of that is done at a college, whether it's 2-year or 4-year college. So you got to go somewhere.
Got to.
Yeah. And I encourage people to go just get a skill set. College introduced me to my friends.
That's true.
My friends, like I was talking to you earlier, this lady named Mara Hall, she's an actress. She been on, you know, TV shows, Victorious. You know, Saints and Sinners. And,
I would love to see
this lady. She on TV. And then Cortez Bryant played in the band. He was the CEO of Young Money.
Yeah, I was going to say that's Lil Wayne's manager.
CJ, Lil Wayne's manager, played in the band at Jackson State. So, you know, we see each other all the time. Always, you know, conference calls and in spaces. Yeah, so, you know, I've been to different, you know, Drake and, you know, whatever events and parties and so forth.
How you felt when you seen Drake? How you felt?
It's Drake, Nicki Minaj, been in there. You know, what? Let me just say this. It's a different, you know, everybody's normal. You know, everybody's trying to have a good time and enjoy themselves. I'm just proud to know people that I know that been in the same college I've been, like busting doors down and really controlling and influence the music world.
Yeah.
And we all play in this music band at Jackson State University.
Yeah.
The way I see it is kind of like him and his people, like the Four Horsemen with LeBron James. You know how, like, they got Klitsch? Like, the people that are around LeBron James are the people who stick together. Like, I mean, so, like, just seeing him be successful in his role and then seeing his friends be successful in their roles and then they all get together, you got $500,000 or $1 million in the building. Probably more than over $1 million in the building. When you got them in the building. So that's just, it's black excellence. And I love to see it. It inspires me to this day. Because one of these days, you're going to look up and I'm going to be a part of that crew.
Yeah. Right.
And we're going to be a part of that crew.
Oh, for real.
It's surreal because, you know, I remember collecting 99 pennies just to go to Burger King to get a dollar waffle. You know, my dad, like, I ain't sending you no money. You be hungry. So you got to find some change on the ground. You know what I'm saying? Just keeping it 100. Now, you know.
That ain't nothing.
But we all been there, in the struggle. Yeah. So, you know, I tell young people all the time, just be consistent with what you do and make sure you connect to people that are moving and shaking. You know, y'all got more resources now than we ever had. Yeah. You got social media, so it should be no reason.
The internet, man,
y'all... Like we ain't
no reason not to know nothing.
There's no reason not to know nothing today.
Like I said, you can learn anything.
Yeah.
YouTube.
Yeah, so take advantage of all these opportunities.
Yes. Now, it's a specific date, like 2002.
Mm-hmm.
He became the advisor of Capital League.
Oh, goodness.
If I am correct.
You correct.
How did you get that, and how did you feel getting to become the advisor?
Well, I was the Capital League advisor in Hattiesburg. So I did that from 97 to 2002. Okay. My dad was the advisor of the Capital League here in Mobile before I moved back. And so he was like, you want it? I was like, no, I don't want it. Because I ain't know I had been away for 10 years.
Right? Yeah,
I know nobody here and I ain't want to do that again. Commit myself to that.
Yeah.
So we eventually talked and I said, okay. But then it was about 12 of them. That's all of them over at Capital League then. I was like, man, y'all want to be number one Capital League in the country? They were like, I said, do y'all want to be there? And one boy said, hell yeah. His name Greg Harris. He's an attorney now here in Mobile.
Shut up.
Yeah. He was like, went to the floor. He's like, hell yeah, let's be number one. So we started laying the foundation from that, started doing different stuff in the community, started throwing them parties. I taught them how to throw parties and how to make that go. And then everything just started blowing up.
And now...
Yep.
Behold,
yep.
The number one.
Right.
Here we go.
You know, I just taught them like what I knew. You know what I'm saying? I knew my homeboys. We learned, like, again, you know, these people who run in multi-million-dollar music industry and in that space, and you just, you know, take what you learn from all those spaces and you start pumping it in the kids here in Mobile just to see what they can do with it.
Okay,
then. And so they just took it and they start being entrepreneurs in the Capital League. So a lot of the Capital League alums, like some of them are like millionaires now. You know what I'm saying? They took what they learned in the Capital League of Mobile and started doing their own business.
I do know
clothing line, everything, bro.
I got one of them in my head that I know, KT.
Yeah, KT. Yeah,
shout out to KT.
That's right. I had him for 4 years, Florida Gate quarterback. He entered really, really quiet in the Capital League. I can remember 10th grade when he played in the game, and he, like, Mr. Carl, I made, like, 4 touchdowns. I'm like, you know, guys always say, don't sit in the back, sit in the front. You know, you the damn quarterback. You got to lead everybody. You know, I used to be on them. Like but I be on all of them like that. So I don't show no favoritism. I don't care who you are. But just to see him, you know, be on that level, too. And we had another guy named Michael Pierce. He played for the Vikings. He's in the Capital League. So we produced some, you know, NFL.
Some players. very talented and very great people.
Because I know the bit. My brother worked in the NFL.
Oh, okay.
So I kind of, he's been in the NFL for 12 years now. So I kind of know that scene too, how they work.
Shout out to
the he with the Rams. Rams house, baby.
Okay, Dad.
Yeah, L.A.
I hope they do great.
Me too. Went to the Super Bowl 2 years ago.
Got Matthew Stafford over there.
Now. Yeah, we got new QB.
And then you got one of my favorite, Van Jefferson over there. Yeah. Van is working his way up. Smooth feet. So did you go through a system like Mobile Capital League?
They had a Capital League, but I wasn't in. It wasn't like you see it now. I was in the Culturama. AKA had this program called Culturama.
Okay.
I did that. They still have Culturama, but my mom's an AKA. So you had boys and girls in that. And then I did Jack and Jill Botillion.
Okay.
So I did that. So, you know, I took from little of that to, you know, with me to college. But still, I ain't lean in on that stuff till I, you know, got back to Mobile.
All right. So, like, we know about you getting in there, and right now you're running things. You've been running things.
Yeah.
I want to ask you, though, like, how is the environment of this current chapter that you have now? Like, what is the brotherhood like? Are they
good question.
A tight-knit group? Or
well, you know, COVID messed everything up, so we had to do everything virtually. Mm-hmm. But before COVID, I'll say it's still a tight group. We have to work harder because kids have changed. Mm-hmm. So, you know, y'all, they ain't the same. I remember y'all was in high school and y'all was coming to the Capital League party. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So imagine, you know,
these new generation boys.
Yeah,
y'all
it's
boy.
Different, you know. So I adjust every 2 years.
I get what our parents was talking about. When they used to talk about us, I see it. I ain't number 25. I see it with the kids that's 18, 19, 20, 21. Now, I'm like, what? It's like we were raised from a whole different planet.
It's so different.
You feel me? Yeah.
But it take a lot of energy now. It take a lot of energy to work with it now. Mm-hmm. Because you deal with social media, what they see on social media, who they trying to be on social media. You know, it's very few males in the household to, you know, give them some good role models. So whatever they see, that's what they gravitate to, whether good or bad. So
I feel like kids today, like now, or would you say, because you got to see both, like from us being like in high school, the group that you dealt with from our class and then now. Would you say that the kids now, are they a little bit more like accepting to work together? Because to me, that's what I've taken from kind of the younger generation. Seem like they're more a little bit more accepting to work with each other a little bit.
Well, because they're in each other live virtually through Snapchat, Instagram. Yeah, yeah. So, you know, they see the world totally different from maybe.
We got brought into that social media age.
Yeah.
We got, I remember.
Yeah,
they living. Facebook look like nothing.
Yeah. They living it now. So, you know, every 5 years, technology changed so fast. It's something new. You know, we went from Facebook to Snapchat.
Like 5 months now.
New app for something. Yeah. So, they living in this space, man. I ain't even on a video game space, how they communicate through that space. So, you know.
I have to introduce you to the PS5.
I don't feel like talking about them.
That ain't making me no money.
Right. I'll be like, that ain't making me no money.
I don't know, Dr. Carter, the way I can set it up for you.
Okay, then set it up.
Yeah,
dollars,
you know what I'm saying? Then. You get your kids and now they go talk to Smack. You can go
look, it is. Hey, look, now, hey. A lot of these parents out here that's really happy that their child didn't get off that game. That child done brought in so much. It's so many teenage doggone Twitch streamers and all this making mad money in their parents' house. Boy, I'm talking about.
For instance, they got the what's that thing called? I can't think of it right now. It's Ninja. Ninja plays it a lot.
Oh, the guy. Yeah.
I can't think of the game, though.
Oh, Fortnite?
Yeah, Fortnite. All right, so they have Fortnite, like, tournaments, right? And if you make it up to a certain level, you could literally get in this tournament, put the controller down, and still walk away with $50,000.
But
the winner get, like, $5
million. Yeah.
So I'm like, maybe I do need to.
But that's too much time and dedication. I mean,
boy, you know how good you got to be?
Yeah, if you like, hit it, this you ain't good. Sweet. I ain't mad at it.
It's like the Madden. I watched the Madden, the dudes, and they play Madden like competitive football now. Now, every football team has a game in division, and it's like with 2K, every NBA team now has an actual. You can play for the Atlanta Hawks. Like, if I was a good enough basketball 2K player, I literally could get drafted by the Atlanta Hawks to play on their virtual team.
They got that.
Ain't that amazing? Yeah. Like, that's like a gamer's dream. You feel me? Like, we sit on the game back. We never think that. you'll think in 2000 because it started in 2019.
Right.
You'll never think 2019. I know me in 2005 playing my PS2 or whatever. I wasn't sitting there like, oh boy, in 15 years, boy, folks gonna be playing this for mad money.
Yeah. You just planning it to be playing it.
You feel me?
Man, they planning it to be on a whole nother level.
Yeah. I do want to ask you, now, say if I'm a kid and I see Capital League, why would I want to join?
Good question. I think Capital League provides a safe space for black males, any male, to just express themselves. You know how y'all first asked about how you feeling today, what's your temperature today, your mental. Well, you know, we provide a open and safe space where, you know, boys can be boys, you know what I'm saying? Particularly young men of color. We need that space because so much, you know, shit been going on.
Yeah,
you know, police brutality, racism, and all of that. So what we do is provide a space where they're safe. You know, we feed them. We take them on college tours. You know, we give them pep talks. You know, we stay on them. We ride them hard. And you know, because we want them to be successful. Mm-hmm. But I think it gives just some boys some structure. And I know boys like structure. We say we don't, but we love going to football practice. We love going to baseball practice.
It gives us that fulfillment.
Competition.
Yeah.
Like, I'm all, you know, I love compete to this day. I'm ready to beat somebody's ass. Yes,
I love it.
Come on.
Yeah. Just because.
You want to get on the track? You want to home wrestle? I want to whoop your ass.
Right. Just because. Right.
I also think men like wrestling.
I just ready to whoop somebody's ass. Something.
I'm just competitive. You know what I'm saying?
I'm like that, bro. I don't like losing that.
No, I don't like that.
The game, rock, paper, scissors, I don't like losing nothing.
If we say we're going to have a weightlifting competition, I'm going tomorrow. Find me a train.
You feel me?
Right. Give me 6 weeks. Let's get it.
Let's do it. And I also think men like repetition as well. Like,
yeah.
Because if something keeps, being consistent, you don't have to think as much. You can use that brain power to focus on something else.
Yeah. Totally agree.
Let's see. I want to also ask you, tell us about a time that you helped a troubled teen in the Mobile Capital League.
It's so many stories. I'll tell you this one young man, he didn't have much money. He went to high school here in Mobile. I ain't gonna say trouble, he was poor. Okay. So a lot of the young men are in poverty. So we know the statistics in Mobile that large percentage of the black population in Mobile live in poverty. Mm-hmm. And people don't like to talk about that, but it is what it is. Folks here in Mobile are poor, particularly people of color. And because we just don't have the jobs that, you know, our white counterparts have for whatever reason. We ain't getting into that. So this kid, smart kid, really poor. And of course, you need to go to college. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Got accepted, got a scholarship. And then his mom was like, well, how he going? I ain't taking him. This your thing, not mine.
What?
You know, I was like, dang. You know, and that's not the first time that has happened to us in the Capital League where the parents, you know, sometimes they want them to do good, but then they hesitate because they just not familiar with the experience of college. Like, y'all pushing this on my child. I can't get him up to Huntsville. I can't get him up to Montgomery. So, you know, we got to provide money and all that stuff to get the kid from Mobile to Huntsville. Yeah. That's 6 hours.
That's true.
You know, so here we go doing that. Got him up there doing great. Man, this boy graduated. I mean, rocket scientist. Built him a house. Got wife, kid, beautiful house. And he lived in a space where they didn't have lights in Mobile. Now he got his own house, rocket scientist. You know, just doing phenomenal. You know, and I've seen many boys in Mobile Capital League go from poverty in a local high school, whether that's Murphy, Blount, Viger, Theodore, and in 5 years, they're making $80,000.
They go from poverty to Porsches.
Yep, that quick. So that's how I know your life can change that quick. If you consistent, kind of follow this plan and be structured with it, you can go from poverty to middle class in 5 years. And I watched it over and over again. My guys do that.
Hey, listen, if you're a kid or you parent with kids, they showing you the proof is in the pudding.
Yeah.
You should join Mobile Capital League. Do what you got to do. Just know, if you feel like you don't have brothers, you can sign up and have a bunch of brothers behind you, backing you 100%.
And I think now, because we got a big alumni group now, well, you know, the guy that maybe you all know, so like they give back to the program and you know, they working at Disney or whatever, they bring on the Capital League to help them work at Disney.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? So it kind of like feeding itself.
Yeah.
Nah, so if you're in Capital League now and you don't take advantage of that,
that's on you.
That's on you. Yeah, like back in the day, now we were trying to create this space. But now, if you're a boy getting in Capital League and you don't excel, that's your fault.
That's definitely.
Yeah, I can't help you. There's too many people helping now.
No, I do. All right, so we're going to do this. I got, well, I'm going to ask you a word, and I want you to tell me what's the first thing that comes to your mind when I say these words.
Okay, all right.
So here we go. First word is brotherhood.
Support.
Okay.
Okay. Okay.
I mean,
okay.
That's it right there. Yeah. Normally when you have brotherhood, you look for support. Shout out to Jay-Z because I love the line that he said, if everybody in your clique is rich, your clique is rugged. So if you fall, everybody can be each other's crutches.
That's right.
So like if you know, you got a good brotherhood, they don't have to necessarily be rich, but if everybody on the same, you know.
Yeah. Right. Support
system. Yeah, definitely support you. All right, so the next one that I have is mentorship.
Stability.
Yeah.
Stability.
I can see that. Because like when it comes to some people, they need help having it. Like me, I need balance. I need help being stable.
Right.
Maybe I need
to. I do too. Everybody need a mentor. Like I got mentors. You know what I'm saying?
You might need to sign up for something.
Yeah, everybody need a mentor.
Yeah, if you the smartest person you talk to, it's wrong.
Yeah.
That's true.
I need somebody pouring into me too. I'd be tired.
That's it. I say the next one I got is therapy.
Therapy. Relax.
I feel
relax.
Like, yeah. Because whenever I hear therapy, whenever I see somebody want to go to a therapist, it's to help them from being so tense.
Yeah, relax.
That's what I would think. All right, so now that I asked you those three words, what are your thoughts on the black community and therapy, on therapy and mentorship?
Let's start with therapy.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's been taboo that, you know, black people don't need mental health, you know, assistance and therapy. I think we've leaned on the church a lot for that, but my concept that, you know, the pastor does not have a degree in therapy, psychology, you know, and spiritual component is very important to me. I get that, but you need professional help outside the church too. So I just think with a combination of that, you know, we need that. And, you know, adults go through trauma. You know, it's traumatic being black in America, you know, on many occasions. So you always need a space. I think people need to go see therapy, and that's okay to do that.
I feel like that though. I feel like in the black community, they always say, "Ain't nothing wrong with you.
Just,
you can talk to me."
Yeah,
and they
just get through it.
Yeah,
man up. I hear that a lot. So you know, on Clubhouse and stuff, I'm very big on Clubhouse. And so,
okay.
Yeah, I just hear, you know, brothers always talking about they just don't have spaces to talk to, you know, other men or, you know, guys about what they're going through. So we hold it as guys, take black guys and build it up until we explode and it's violent. We fighting, shooting. Don't even know why we doing it. Mm-hmm. I mean, I know why we doing it, but, you know, we in a space where we don't even know who we are no more. It just lay up. So,
that's true.
Yeah.
And I've noticed that myself just being around, like right now with this podcast and stuff, I'm able to listen to a lot of people's stories.
Yeah.
And when I listen to their stories, sometimes I'd be like, bro, it didn't even really have to get that bad. Like, I always try to advocate for people to get therapy because, like, I feel like some people need that.
Right.
And I even influenced my wife to get one, and now she's pushing me to get one.
Yeah, you need therapy. Ain't no wrong with that, bro.
Yeah. Now, I do want to ask you, though, because you talked about, you brought up your father in the middle of the episode. Like, what was his influence on your life and you? As well, I see pictures of y'all eating out and you know, talking and stuff. Like, how is that relationship involved?
Man, I love my dad to death. I never been without my dad. Mm-hmm. So, I don't, that's not my story. You know, I go out and speak to everybody, and, you know, a lot of brothers, you know, say they, you know, traumatic lives because their dads wasn't there and how that impacts them at the age of 30, 31, and, you know, when they marry and so forth. That's not my story. My dad has always been there. My grandfathers were there. So I had both of my granddad in my life, and I had my great-grandfather. So for me, men have always been the protectors, the providers of my space. So I never felt I needed to go in the community, you know, to get some other guy to validate me. Mm-hmm. So that never was my story. I validated myself. Or I was already validated. You know, my dad had validated me. Mm-hmm. So I didn't have to seek that. So I didn't waste time. So my homeboy who didn't have that, they kind of wasted some time. They were seeking that because they didn't have, you know, a man at the house to say you this, you that, you go be this, you somebody. I had that already. So I didn't waste time on that. So I was able to move quicker to get to my goals, you know. And they had their goals now too, but they was like, damn, it took us so much. We put so much energy into making it to this point where I'm tired. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So I think for brothers, you know, that's why I mentor. That's why, you know, I get in there and do what I do. Mm-hmm. And I try to provide a space of safety and encouragement for other black males. Because again, I didn't have that traumatic life. Mm-hmm. I got to be honest with you. My life was very smooth sailing, and the men in my life, my uncles, they all played important roles in my life. So.
I also want to ask you, do you feel like the fact that you did have your father in your life a lot help you when it comes to mentoring these kids? Because some people that don't have fathers.
Yeah, absolutely. Because some people say like, well, how you mentoring? They be like, how you go in the hood and they be listening to you? I get that all the time. They're like, you go in there, you dressed all nice, you don't never get out of who you are. I'm like, well, this is who I am. You know what I'm saying? That's who you are. Be your authentic self. Mm-hmm. I'm my authentic self. But I think me experiencing being around good men, that's what I want for every young brother that I meet. I see myself in every black man that I meet. Mm-hmm. So when I see myself, you know, I feel like, man, you ain't got to do that. You know, this is a better way. I am trying to live your space. I ain't trying to tell you what to do. But I know it's a better way for you to accomplish what you're trying to accomplish. Because I see other black men accomplish it or have accomplished certain things. So that's what I do with that.
Okay. And I want to, once again, appreciate and thank Dr. Carr for coming on this show.
Yes.
I want to go on, and we got a lot of people watching the chat today, so I'm going to get some shout-outs out here. I want to say shout-out to my cousin, Johnny Seville.
Big shout-out, Johnny. I'm trying that food tonight now.
Hey, what's up, everybody?
I'm trying that food out tonight now, Johnny.
Hey, shout-out to Eric, cuz.
Maysville Shack, baby.
Yeah, we got Jay Bettis in here. Shout-out to him. Shout-out to DJ October in here.
Big shouts out, man.
Shout-out to DJ Blaze in here.
Shouts out to Blaze, man.
Panthers in the house.
Yeah, I already know.
My classmate, DJ Blaze, class of 91, bro.
Yeah, we got a whole bunch of people just watching. I want to also tell everybody that this show is sponsored to you by Punkin's The Bando Kitchen, man. They made the food today for us. They made us some great Cajun grilled chicken sliders, man, with Cajun mustard on it. And then the honey barbecue Jim Beam sauce on it, man. Then on top of that, fresh corn on the cob with the Cajun dressing on top of that as well.
I'm about to tear it up.
With the peach cobbler on
it. I want the peach cobbler.
Yeah, wow. I'm waiting on you to wrap this up so I can eat.
I want the peach cobbler. Then I got to go run after that, right?
Yeah, you got to go.
Got to get them calories off.
Got to get them calories off, bro.
Got to run off what you eat.
You also got to do Rockin' and Drop It with us.
Okay, then, let's rock it.
And Rockin' and Drop It today is going to be some very, very great snacks. We're going to on the bed. Here we go. All right, so first up, we got the all-dressed Canadian Ruffles here.
I'm trying to figure out what that means.
I don't know. We're going to figure it out today.
What is all-dressed?
I don't know. It says something about it being salty, savory, and sweet all at the same time.
Okay. But they making chips out of anything. Nah.
You get to do the honors.
Yeah, you get to do the honors, boss man.
So I get to select.
You get to just open it.
I get to open it.
Yeah.
Oh, crap.
You like it, you take it with you.
Yeah. I get to take it with you.
Yeah, you like it.
Yeah, you like it, you take it with you.
All right. Got a good barbecue twist to it. It's sweet. I don't like sweet chips, though.
You know, I like sweet chips?
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Yeah, if this is what Canada tastes like, they can keep it.
And so, Dr. Carr, Rockin' and Drop It. How do you feel about these chips?
Drop it.
All right, drop. And why? Just because it's sweet?
It's sweet. Yeah. Sweet chips.
What could make it better?
What's in it? Take whatever that is. What is that?
They need to add some salt to it.
That's vinegar.
Vinegar. That barbecue, it's too much barbecue sauce on it.
Okay, then. Cash, how you feel?
I'll drop it.
Why?
To me, it's only a taste, like, as soon as it hits your tongue, and then it go immediately away. And then, after that, it just tastes like potato.
Do you want, like, a bowl chip just attacking the back of your neck like that?
I mean, the average bag of Cool Ranch Doritos seem to do that to me, so, I mean.
Yeah, bring out the Cool Ranch. What a Cool Ranch.
Yeah, baby,
that's what we need. I need a Cool Ranch and a red pop. I'm good.
You feel me? There you go. Right now. Okay, let's set up. Right now. Yeah, Ruffles, y'all can keep that one, bro. I rock with Ruffles. Now, some Ruffles chips I eat, but
And if you're from Maysville, we need freeze cups, right? Remember the freeze?
Oh, yeah. Flipped upside down.
Flipped upside down. Woo! The summertime.
You said with the fruit, you bougie. Yeah. I ain't never had no freeze. Yeah. You had a freeze go with some fruit in there. I ain't never had no freeze go with no fruit in there. That boy said with the fruit in there.
I'm going to say that I rock with these chips. And okay, I actually rock. Got a story about these things. So I went in the store one day. I was working or whatever. I was getting ready to go home. And I didn't pay attention to the bag. So I looked at the bag and I just grabbed it because I thought Ruffles finally came out with a barbecue.
It looked like just barbecue.
Yeah. So then I get home, take a shower, get all settled up, getting ready to watch my game.
Yeah.
I put my hand in here and I take a bite. Now, have you ever had that feeling of you thinking mentally something?
It's something else. It's going to
be. Yeah.
You like,
man,
what's the flavor of these again?
All dressed.
It's dressed
undressed.
Two dressed.
Pause. But yeah, it sent a shockwave. I was like, what the hell? Bye bye. All right. Next up, we got Baby Bundt Lemon Drizzle Cakes.
Baby Bundt Cakes. You can't go wrong with that. I'm sorry.
No, you can.
I don't think you can go wrong with that.
Oh, yes, you can.
Yeah, you can.
Oh, okay. Maybe you can. Oh, yeah, bro. Butt cake I done had been butted.
Okay.
So, you got filling in it? Mm-mm. Damn, I don't know what filling.
You don't want none?
Dude.
It ain't got that.
No, it ain't got no filling in it.
I hate filling.
All right, here we go.
See that dust, huh? They look like they busting a little bit. I can't count. Hey, look,
is he hungry?
There you go. Let me get another one. You won't have a Mardi Gras. He be Cottage Hill Parade. Cottage Hill Parade. Y'all come once a year.
I just got out of school cake, right?
What it look like? Yeah, that was something to get a little lunch back or something. Hold on now.
Wait a minute.
I'm rocking.
Wait a minute.
This is good. It's
This is dangerous. That's what it is.
Yeah.
This is good.
These going. Hey, what's the name of these?
It's good.
Baby, I know you watching. You going to the store to get some of these tomorrow. These busting on me, boy. Lemon Drizzle Baby Bundt. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I ain't going to lie, bro.
I'm good.
I'm taking you one for later. You can take the rest.
This is dangerous.
You can take the rest.
Like, I know some of the people who watch this, they get a little lifted. If you get a little lifted,
man,
you might want to buy a box of
these. Hey, hostess, I'm rocking with y'all for these now. Cause I don't eat stuff like this a lot. Cause normally it tastes like rubber, but this is actually good. Like,
which y'all say it's the lemon for me.
Yeah, okay, it's about the lemon. It's probably the lemon.
It's the lemon.
It's probably the lemon. Yeah. Dr. Carl, how you feel about it? Yeah, Lula.
Rocking. I ain't mine. It's gone. We rocking.
You rocking with
him. He rocking hard with that.
Why you rocking with him?
Because the lemon. I like the
just
lemon.
Just the lemon. All the lemon.
The lemon. Right and it's mouth. Moist.
Okay. That man picked the rapper up like, what you mean? It's good. Well, it's gone. It's gone. It's good. That's
the
like.
Symbolism of rock.
Done.
It's in the bag.
Yeah.
Cash, man. You still working on your second one. How you feel?
No, this my first one.
Oh. Are you savoring every little?
It's good, bro. Like, I can't count. It's busting. I rock with it.
You rock.
I go buy a box of these. Couple boxes.
Oh, yeah.
I feel like it tastes like your grandma made it.
Yeah, it's
like, one of them revival church.
Vacation Bible school.
Yeah.
Funeral.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Now, if they throw that off the float, I'm busting head for that.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Then. Oh, yeah. That's coming off the float. Let me get
pushing you out the way. Yeah. You getting pushed out the way.
You might catch one of them Shawn Michael.
Shawn Michael kicks.
For the lemon butt cakes.
Yeah, he busting.
Yeah, I take that from a little kid right there.
Give me that. This is one of them snacks in school. This is one of them snacks. I'd be at the lunch table. I would trade you my pudding cup.
Pudding cup.
For your butt cake.
And they say no. Hey, you like, hey, Jamal, give me that pudding cup. I'll give you two.
Hey, I start offering most of them. You want a fruit roll up?
Come on, man. What I gotta do?
You like gushers? You like gushers? Come on, bro. This is my snack. This is my snack later, bro. I'll give you a snack later, bro. Come on, baby.
All right, we get to the end of the show. I got maybe two last things to ask Dr. Carr. Dr. Carr, one of the last things I want to ask you is what or why is it important? What is the importance of the stroll? For all like fraternities and sororities, what is the importance
of the stroll.
Well, it's an expression of each organization. Each organization has its signature strolls, and so just the way that we express ourselves. You know, as Black folks, we love to be expressive anyway.
Yeah,
so,
we do.
You know, the culture is really deep when it comes to Black Greek letters, fraternities, and sororities. And so when that music hit, you know, we know what to do when the music hit, and everybody get out the way and show respect for it. And it's just a good feeling to see all the Greeks out there strolling and doing their thing. So it's just a way to express yourself and show homage and so forth to the organizations you belong to.
Hey, yeah. That's why, and that's why it's not just because they wanted to be smooth with the shoulder thing.
Hey, man, you must be doing, you used to this, bro. Everything we done asked this man, he done had a perfect answer for him. I'm talking about a perfect answer on point. He don't take no time, though. I'm talking about, he's like, he already knew these was coming. Like, he already,
No, I'm about to set it on.
Hey, man.
I'm about to set it up and set it on.
Set it on. Make sure you follow me on my social media.
You already know what to do.
Put it up there.
You already know.
Doctor, set it on.
Doctor, set it off, man.
Look, man, this has been a great episode.
Good episode, man.
Casper, is there anything you want to tell our people before we get about it?
Say, man, you need to be like, you need to be like Dr. Carr, man. Wake up every morning, at least an 8 out of 10. Anything other than that is not acceptable.
Exactly.
Get out there, get your business handled, man.
All right.
I got to say, man.
Dr. Carr, is there anything you would like to tell your fans, your followers, and everything?
What they say, shout out to my mom and daddy. No. Yeah, but shout out to them. Shout out to them. My family. My brother just left. He's on his way back to Los Angeles. Shout out with my niece and nephew, so shout out to them. Okay. I'm going out to LA in September for the opening of SoFi Stadium. So I'm really amped about
that. Boy, that stadium's so pretty. I play Madden. They got the new stadium.
They got new stadium on Madden.
It just look nice on Madden.
I call
like,
the club SoFi. So, you know, we going out there in September for that game.
That
so
stadium
going
to be hard. That's
about
that.
So oh, yeah, it'll be hard.
I think that's the prettiest stadium in the league now.
Yeah.
Between that one
and
Las Vegas and Atlanta.
SoFi eating them all up.
SoFi, I'm pretty sure SoFi. SoFi pretty. That thing pretty. I ain't gonna lie. It looked like a technical.
Fortress. So I'm hype about that. And then of course Jackson State football kicking off.
Yeah.
So shout out to all my Jackson State alum, my fraternity brothers, Cap outside. Yo. To the Cavaliers, what's up, man? Proud of y'all, former and current. Keep up the good work. And to Mobile, man. Mobile, love Mobile. Keep it up. Born and raised here, Maysville. What's going on, everybody in Maysville? Keep that up. Be a community. Support each other. You can follow me on my social media, Instagram, Twitter, Snapchat, Dr. Set It Off. DrSetitOff.
And be patient, because sometimes you don't see your friend request.
Yeah, be patient. I know, right? Oh, I got to get rid of people.
Yeah, I'm just saying, sometimes you don't see it, you know?
So that's what's up.
Look, man, we got, you here on Off The Rock, and it's something that we do to end the show all the time. So, I guess I'll do it since you did it the last time. All right, so look, this is how we do it. At the end, like I told you, we here live on Off The Rock. Now, I always ask people, what is the hottest podcast in the 251?
Off The Rock.
Hey, you already knew it.
Already
shout out to DJ Blaze. He said, jump off the rock.
Jump off the rock. Yeah. Blaze, what's up?
And we also say, if you not vibing with Off The Rock, you definitely are
under the rock,
man.
Rock,
shout out to AJ Mobile, Cavaliers as well. AJ, take us out.